do this. So I gotta use good posture.
Suck it in, Pastor, suck it in.
I am.
Maybe if the person that put the stand together
knew what they were doing. Yeah, I got that has a left on it, so you can tell it's perfect.
Where? No.
It looks great.
Yeah, it has a little bubble level.
No, it doesn't.
All right.
This side.
Are you ready?
I see it.
Free help. What do you do?
Yeah. Who is it?
All right. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that great meal that filled our bellies. And we pray, Lord God, as we jump into Revelation chapter 22, that our minds and hearts will be open to receive your word tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we are going to finish the book of Revelation tonight. Hopefully. So, Revelation chapter 22, the final chapter in the book. Hallelujah. We've been in Revelation for a long time. All right, so Revelation 22, starting in verse 1, says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, but they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." All right, so that's verses 1 through 5. So there's six characteristics that we see listed in these verses. So the first is the water is clear like crystal. So water has always been and apparently will continue to be a vital part of our existence. When we see even our community, it's placed by a river. When we find all rivers and streams and water sources, that's where communities tend to have started. Or they moved because the water dried up or went bad or whatever, so they would relocate. We've always needed water. In this case, though, the water, it says it's going to be clear like crystal. And it's going to give life and flow from the throne of God. And so, I mean, if a stream's going to come from somewhere, that's a good place to come from. The next thing is the tree of life. Not necessarily a singular tree. It says the tree on either side of the river and either side of the street. So, potentially meaning the river and the streets will be lined with these trees. And they will be life-giving. In fact, there's going to be 12 different fruits produced, which is a unique thing. And the thought is that every month will be a new fruit. So for those of you that get bored, just wait a few weeks and it's going to be a new fruit.
That's great.
It says the leaves will be healing for the nations, which probably a little bit better translation would be that the leaves will be health-giving, meaning that phrase there means that they'll be serving or ministering and they'll be giving health. So in other words, the trees are going to promote the enjoyment of life in the new city. Not correcting, ailments and sickness, because that stuff is all gone.
That's right.
And so this is giving the nations that life-giving thing they need to enjoy what's taken place. And so in the nations is all the people. So it's going to be an amazing thing. Fruit, for those of you that like that stuff. Leaves that are health-giving. The curse is lifted in the New Jerusalem. So no more curse. So when Adam and Eve sinned, the curse came, and we still deal with it today. Here it's called a goat head. There will be no more goat heads. And it says, we will see God. Verse 4 states, they will see his face, and his name will be on their forehead. So we will be marked for him. We will be his. And we will see him. We will be engaged in relationship with him. We will be the blood-bought children of God. That is an amazing thing.
Yes, yes.
And we will be his forever. There will be no more night. His radiance will illuminate everything. No more darkness. No more bad dreams in the middle of the night. And we will reign with him forever and ever. Pretty powerful opening to the chapter, the things that we're going to see and experience. Verse 6 through 12, and he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what soon must take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, and the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Verse 12, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So we have I am coming soon phrase that happens several times in these verses. So we have it in verse 7, verse 10, and verse 12. It says, I am coming soon, for the time is near. So blessed, verse 7 says, behold, I'm coming soon. And we find that statement three times. And a more accurate translation of the I am coming soon would be to say, behold, I'm coming suddenly. Which really changes our understanding of what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Not soon as in a time frame, which is how we often interpret it and how we often communicate it. I'll be home soon. You better watch out. The dishes better be done. But to say that I am coming suddenly, I will be home. You don't know when. The chores better be done. Suddenly, I will appear.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. And so what Jesus is really saying is that he's going to come, and it's going to take place suddenly without warning. I'm not sending you a text. Heads up, 15 minutes. Boom, I'm here. Let's go. So the promises that come with that. Verse 7 says, blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. So this could be a reference to the rapture and those that hold his word ready until that day arrives. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the book. We hold on to it. We trust in it. We trust in him and we lean into him. And we rely on him and we hold tightly to our faith and to the grace that we've received. Verse 10 says, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Now, when you think all the way back to Daniel, when we went through the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 12, he says, close up the book until the time comes. Seal it up. Now we fast forward to John, and the angel tells John, don't seal it up. Keep this open so the people can see it. The people need to know. So there's quite a contrast there. And then verse 12, behold, I'm coming soon. Bring my recompense with me, so to repay each for what he has done. So there's a proclamation of a reward with the judgment that's going to come. Like, we're going to be rewarded. So there's promises, there's hope. Then verse 9, we see John bows before the angel. The angel's like, hey, I'm not the guy you worship. I'm a servant. We worship God and God alone. Verse 11, I'm kind of hopping around a little bit, I know, but let the evil doer still do evil, the filthy be filthy, the righteous do right. So that's kind of an interesting phrase and statement that happens there. Another translation will say that let that is unjust, let it be unjust. And essentially, what it's saying is, where the people are, if they are rejecting these things that the book of Revelation is talking about, these are true and valuable statements. These are things that should pique our curiosity about what God is doing. They're things that should draw us closer to relationship with Him. The ones that are going to reject this are going to reject this. The ones that are going to take it are going to take it. And so essentially what it's saying is that these prophecies are rejected by a believer or an unbeliever, because sometimes believers will read these prophecies and go, no, that's not going to happen. Well, so whether if they're rejected, there's no argument that's going to work. We can plead and beg and try to get someone to change their mind or see our way. But if they're going to reject these things, then we just leave them to their thoughts and patterns and whatever. We continue to pray for them. We continue to hope for opportunity. We pray that heart changes, that mind opens. But when we begin to reject the things in these scriptures, at some point, our choice to follow or reject becomes permanent. Whether that is in death, whether that is in rapture, whether that is in becoming so hard we just completely reject everything forever. At some point, that's where it all ends up. And so, where somebody is, we want to pray for people. We want them to come to know the Lord. We want to give them opportunity to receive grace. We want to give grace. We want to be an example of grace. But when they continue to reject these things, it's basically saying we leave them to those things. And so we let the evildoer do evil, the filthy be filthy, the righteous do right, the holy be holy. And so that's where that's going with that. Verses 14 through 16 says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. So verse 14, it's a beatitude. If you think back to the beatitudes in the Gospels, blessed are those that are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that, here in Revelation, we have blessed are those who who wash their robes. Blessed are those who are prepared to enter the kingdom, not by works, but by the grace that God gives us. By faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the grace. We just talked about, it was Easter last Sunday, we just talked about all these things. You know, it's the death and the resurrection and the ascension, and it is through these things that we receive grace. And so, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city gates. So by that faith in Christ, we're going to enter into the city. We're going to have access to the tree with the fruit, 12 different fruits, and the leaves that are health and life-giving. And verse 15 is a description of those that reject God's offer of grace and mercy and salvation. And it's similar to the other descriptions we've seen in even in just recent chapters. And we see this description, not literally necessarily of dogs, but of the, you know, we have sorcerers, so false religions. We have sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And when we look at these things, these are the things that draw men and women away from relationship with Christ. Idolatry, things that capture our attention and we can't look away from, and false religions and sexual immorality and you know, murder, whether that, I mean, more often than not, we're not literally, there are people that literally kill people, right? But a lot of times it's our thoughts. In the New Testament, Jesus says to think in your heart is to do, and we have horrible thoughts about people. Drive by 84 about 7:45 on any given day. And what are the, are you blessing the people around you? Bless that man, he doesn't know how to use a blinker. And so these are the things that mankind finds so alluring, they draw so much, that we reject Christ and we run to those things. Verse 16, Jesus himself confirms the message. He acknowledges his place and his desire to come for the church. I'm the root, the descendant of Jesse, the bright morning star. Interestingly, since way back at the beginning of Revelation, when we read the letters to the seven churches, this is the first time since the last letter to the final church that the word church is used in the book of Revelation. So we've gone a long ways through the book of Revelation, and we haven't seen the word church. And this, they finally bring it back right at the very end of the book. Verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So come, the Spirit of the Bride says, come, the Spirit and the Bride. Come, the one who hears, the one who is thirsty, and the one who will. So anyone who hears, who is thirsty, or who will respond, come and take part in the water of life. Anyone that will receive. And that's a call to us. Come, receive. I have these things for you. You don't have to force the kids to get out of bed on Christmas morning. It's the one morning. All the other mornings, you wonder, 11:30, 12, 12, probably should go take a pulse. Christmas morning, they get up all by themselves. Jesus says, come, I have all of these trees and they bear fruit and life, and there's this river that looks like crystal, and the presence of the Lord is going to shine brightly. You will not experience darkness. And it's not the garage light on the neighbor across the street shining in your window. It's going to be an amazing thing. And so the invitation to come is actually in the text. It's an urgent command. Come, for the day and hour will arrive when it is too late to come.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner's ready. Yeah, yeah. Well, where's dinner? We put it away. We're all done. There's going to be a moment, suddenly, like we just read, when it's too late. And so God is calling and begging and pleading and saying, come, I have all of these things for you. Please come. The hour of judgment is impending. Today is the day of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the day of grace. And then the warning is given in regards to the Word of God. And verses 19 and 20, the point is that the child of God, people try to do all kinds of stuff with these verses, but it breaks down fairly simply. The child of God who reveres him, who reveres God, will recognize that this is the Word of God. They will recognize that these words are true, that they are from the Spirit of God through John. And that person will recognize, even as a child of God, that even though I may not comprehend the meaning of the entire book, because there's a lot of stuff in there, and it's kind of confusing, and even though I may not comprehend the entire book of Revelation, I will recognize it and declare that it declares the hope that is given by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So even though I don't understand every detail, every comma, I know and I can see by faith that it points to hope by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 21, the final verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Another way to say it might be to say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints. You are the saints. Well, that's it. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. So one of the most clear messages in the book of Revelation is that God's blessing is on the saints, but not on the wicked. Even just in these last few verses, the blessing of God is on the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this recently, where sometimes we see these people and they just seem to be blessed and they make more money and they do more things, and you just go, what in the world? He's a terrible guy. Worked out. The blessing is on the saints. And sometimes the material things or the things we see that appear to be blessing, internally, they may not be a blessing in that life. They may appear to be a blessing. From our perspective, they may be a blessing. But when you're riding in their car and you're wearing their shoes and you're living their life, you find, man, you are full of turmoil. The blessings are for the saints, not the wicked. And the final verse is a prayer for the saints. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. So you can kind of read that as, is John the Apostle, not the Baptist, John the Apostle, in his last words penned in the Scriptures, was a prayer for you. That was the last thing he penned. Grace of Jesus be with you. And so the book of Revelation is the presentation in the Word of God of what the saints will witness and experience in the glory and consummation of the ages. As it all wraps up one day, as things intensify, all of this describes the things that we will witness and experience as we come to the end of the ages. And so with John, we pray just like he did. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
It is a long book with a lot of information. It took us a long time to get through it. I feel like I accomplished something. I'm going to go on vacation now. Do you have anything? Do you have any questions that can be answered? This last few chapters are like, oh yeah, this part makes sense. Some of the other stuff is a little bit confusing. But these last couple of chapters, and it should inspire us to hope. The whole book really should. There's some parts in there where we think, it's going to be a bad day for some people. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's going to be a bad day. And that should inspire us to hold on to our faith and grow deeper in our faith. It should inspire us to share our faith. It should inspire us to encourage those around us to maintain their faith. And that's why we have community, is because sometimes life can be a challenge.
You mentioned one of those verses that describes the rapture.
Yeah, where he says, where it's the brood. Jesus describes himself, that he sent these things to testify for the churches, and that he's the root of the descendant of Jesse, so acknowledging his lineage, and the bright morning star, and the bright morning star is who he is to us, right, as he's going to come.
How do you get the rapture out of that?
Because as our bright morning star, he is going to come and take us out of these things. He's going to rescue us out of that. That's our position through this, is that when the end of days comes and all of these things begin to culminate and we enter into the last days, as we call it, the tribulation period, he is going to come and rescue us. And as the bright morning star, that's who he will be for us, is our rescuer, if you will. And so he's going to pull us out of that. And then they tie it back to scriptures and other places that help illustrate that a little better. It's one of those ones where you're like, some really smart guy tied together all these different things and said that's where that's going. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the hope for us, right? Is that we are pulled out of some of these things. There doesn't, you know, if we went through this whole thing, if you think about all the things we've talked about over the last year, if at the end I said, so stock up some food, get some water set aside because you're going to live through all these things. If the earthquakes don't get you and the fire doesn't get you and the guillotine doesn't get you and the mark of the beast doesn't get you, And you would sit there and you would look at me and be like, I'm moving to the mountains. I'm getting a goat. But the hope for us is that he is all of the things that the Old Testament prophets said he was, and that he is our redemption, and we will be pulled from these things. That these things aren't for the church, these things are for the unbelievers and for the drawing of Israel back to where they should be. Mm-hmm. And so that's the hope for us.
So through all this, the Israelites will see, hopefully see, the prophecies and accept Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And we know that a lot of them will. We know for sure there's going to be the 144,000. We know, yeah, so we know there's at least that many. And so, yeah, we know that there will be a return for the Israelites. You know, how many? Who knows?
They won't be raptured, though, right? They will be left to...
Well, unless they're Christians.
Right.
Jews, you know, we have the whole Jews for Jesus. And
but, I mean, the 144, aren't they?
They'll be part of the whole tribulation scene. Yeah. And then there's all kinds of miracles that'll take place with that, where God's going to take care of them and protect them and all of that kind of stuff that's going to happen too. So, yeah. Pretty amazing. Well, do we have any